Father, as we come before you, we look around and we are overjoyed at the gift that it is to us of fathers. There is no father on this earth that you have not made a father. And Lord, the gift of fatherhood is, it's quite a task. It comes with grace and it comes with truth. It comes with challenge and joy. It comes with tears. And it comes with delight. Lord, I want to pray a prayer for these fathers in our midst. I pray, Lord, that those here in our midst today would find their deepest delight in you. That the idea of fathering for them would be rooted in your fatherhood of us. As sons of you, Lord, you are our Father. And I pray that that example would constantly adjust us and tweak us and convict us and encourage us, Lord, as we father. Lord, I pray for strength for these fathers. I pray that they would be rooted in you, that they would initiate in their families, that they would, by example, Lord, display who you are, that they would be moved to obey you, Lord, with full hearts, that the fruit of their obedience to you would linger for generations, Lord. Impress upon these men who you have given the gift of fatherhood to the weight of this calling and drive them to their knees because it's far too much for us to carry on our own. When little eyes are looking and a little voice says, I want to be like you. And we know how short we fall. We run to the cross, O Lord. Will the fathers in this church, Father, move them to constantly run to the cross, to cling to you, to find life and obedience and joy and hope for generations who follow. Raise up, Lord, men in this church, all the men. I pray that they would be examples, leaders, initiators, that they would be those men who would speak up and encourage and, if need be, exhort and rebuke and grow those in our church. Father, as the men of the church go, so goes the church. The men have been placed in leadership in this church. The men have been called uniquely by you, not because they're worth more, but because of responsibility that you have placed upon them through your word. And so we ask a special anointing upon the men of this church. Lord, I pray that you would help me as I preach through these verses here, this amazing psalm. Help me to be out of the way so that these words would come to us all with the weight of your authority, Lord, the weight of your truth and the weight of your living and active words as we study them. Be free, O Holy Spirit, to move in our midst and transform us, O Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, make sure you have your sermon notes out. That's going to be important as we move through. I didn't think I had sermon notes this week, and all of a sudden I came into Kathy's office and I said, this happened. It just, there it is. So we have sermon notes. They'll be helpful for you, I think, as we move through to take these notes. Now, what we're going to be doing this morning in Psalm 112, make sure you're there with me. It's going to be important to follow along this morning. Psalm 112 is a very complex psalm. It's not your normal psalm. This is actually deeply poetic and very complicated. It's connected to Psalm 111. And the two make up an acrostic of the Hebrew alphabet. Each letter begins a different line, and they move through this way. So in the original language, this is a very incredible thing that they did when it was written, the Lord ordaining and the hand moving. So what we're going to do justice to the connection here, is begin our study in Psalm 112 by going to Psalm 111, verse 10. It's a handing off verse, and it was our call to worship this morning that Tom read. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. And then they write, His praise endures forever. His praise endures forever. And then we pick up in Psalm 112, verse 1, Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. And as Tom mentioned when he read the call to worship, I don't know if there's any more confusing topic for many people that I've talked to than the fear of the Lord. We have such a challenge wrapping our minds around, what does it mean to fear the Lord? How do we build out this concept in our minds and get it right? Because if we don't get it right, look at the consequences. The fear of the Lord is the very beginning of wisdom. So this is a critical thing for us to not only understand, but walk in. Those who practice it have a good understanding. If we don't know what it is, we're not going to practice it, and therefore we won't have wisdom or understanding. We need the fear of the Lord. And so we're going to work at that today. And what I've done is I've taken the question, what does it mean to fear the Lord, to the text. It's the place you go with all your questions. Take it to the Word. And this is not a comprehensive listing, but here's some verses. Went cover to cover and just sampled verses that speak of the fear of the Lord. So we're going to move quickly through these, but I think we're going to have a bigger picture of how to answer this question from the Word of God this morning. First of all, 2 Kings 17:39. You shall fear the Lord your God, and he will deliver you out of the hand of your enemies. So the fear of the Lord denotes a dependence upon him. I will depend upon him in the face of my enemies. Fearing him is dependence. Fearing the Lord involves dependence. Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. That is wisdom. And to turn away from evil is understanding. So fearing the Lord involves looking to him for wisdom and turning away from evil. I do not dishonor or disobey him. That is to fear the Lord. That's part of it. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. So part of the fear of the Lord is friendship with the Lord, relationship. This is important. This is key. Part of fearing the Lord involves a deep understanding of his covenant love and relationship towards us. We'll keep going. The eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, who hope in his steadfast love. God's eye is directed to those who fear the Lord. Fearing the Lord involves placing your hope in his steadfast love. You can see why it's not easy to answer the question, what is the fear of the Lord? This is multifaceted. It's the beginning of wisdom, and it involves these things. The list goes on and on. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. The angel of the Lord will deliver those who fear the Lord. We look to him for protection. That's the fear of the Lord. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. We look to the Lord in fear for provision. That's the fear of the Lord. Protection, provision, dependence, deliverance, fear of the Lord. The Lord, the Most High, is to be feared, a great king over all the earth. Part of the fear of the Lord is a right understanding of who I am and who he is. He is exalted, he is preeminent, he is supreme over all. So it is right for us to fear him in that way, in that I am nothing compared to him, although I am his child. Fear the Lord. I am a son. Fear the Lord. But I do not measure up. Fear the Lord. Let all the earth tremble before him. Okay, so that's part of the fear of the Lord. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. This brings out the complete opposite of the last verse. He's our Father. When we fear him, he shows compassion. He's close to the brokenhearted. He lifts up the fainthearted. He's there. He's high and exalted, and he's near. If we were on Sesame Street, we would run over here and say, near, and then run over here and say, far. Okay, it's both. The fear of the Lord sees both. Both the near, oh, he is close. He is my Father, Abba. And he is sovereign, Lord of all, King, ruler. Okay? That's the fear of the Lord. With you there is forgiveness. Why? With God there is forgiveness. Why? That you may be feared. The reason forgiveness exists is that we would be rooted then in the fear of the Lord. We root our relationship with God that we have been experiencing as a result of the forgiveness purchased for us on the cross by Jesus. That's the fear of the Lord. Goes on and on. The Lord will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. It doesn't matter what's in your bank account. It doesn't matter what you drive. It doesn't matter what nationality you are, what color your skin is. Both small and great, old and young, fear Him. And He will bless you. Fear Him. And then from the New Testament, the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up and walking. They walked in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. And what did God do? He grew the church. He multiplied the early church. In that interaction, they walked in fear and the comfort of the Holy Spirit, and He grew them. He added to their number daily those who were being saved. So the fear of the Lord, that's a journey, and it just keeps going. I mean, that's just a tip of the iceberg of what we could study on the fear of the Lord. It goes and it goes, and here comes our text today. Praise the Lord, blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in His commandments. So, for us, in this text, the angle, as we turn, it's like a diamond with many spotlights, and we just turn it, and the light refracts. Is that the right word, scientists out there? Okay, it refracts, and we see new glimpses of it. It's like turning a diamond. Here is this text. What does it mean to fear the Lord? Obey His commands. You obey His commands. To fear the Lord is to do what He says. It's to do what He says. Here's a couple other verses from Deuteronomy 6:24. The Lord commanded us to do all these statutes. Equivalent, synonym, to fear the Lord. He commanded us to do, He said, do these. That's the fear of the Lord. For our good always. Another verse, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. What He says, we will do. Where He says, we will go. That's the fear of the Lord. Is that it, though? Is that it, though? Is there more in this first verse than simple obedience? Now, this is where we were in Sunday school, and Rocky started stealing my thunder here. This is the sermon. I love how the Lord lines us up. We don't even plan it this way, but it happens all the time. Obedience, yes, but there's more. There's more. Greatly delighting. Greatly delighting. Look at how this comes. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord. You want to find a synonym for that? Keep reading. Who greatly delights in His commandments. Greatly delights in His commandments. You think about it this way. Only fear the Lord and serve Him faithfully with all your heart. For consider what great things He has done for you. If we leave out the heart and we have just blind obedience, just okay, fine, we'll just do it, whatever He says, right? We do not fear the Lord. We do not honor the Lord. We do not even obey at the level He has called us to obey. So, greatly delighting in obedience. That's the fear of the Lord. That's what it means to fear the Lord. You think of it this way on your notes, you can fill these in. To live it is to love it. To live the fear of the Lord is to love the fear of the Lord. To obey the Lord is to love obedience to the Lord. If you want to live it, you need to love it. Flip it around. To love it is to live it. We're saying the same thing from both angles. To live it is to love it. To love it is to live it. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about here. When God commands you, do you delight to obey? Give me an example. Ethan, I'd like you to go clean your room, say this afternoon. Buddy, go clean your room, please. It's just a real mess up there. I'd like you to put your things away. Dad, I love you. Happy Father's Day. I love you. Come here, Dad. Come here, big guy. Give me a big hug. I love you, Dad. I love you too, buddy. Thanks. Now, I'd like you to go clean your room. No, that's all right. I don't want to do that. But I love you. I love you so much. I'm not really going to do what you say, but I really love you. Does he? To live it is to love it. To love it is to live it. Son, I love you too. I love you too. Part of my love for you is to encourage you to obey. Now, show me your love in what you do at my command. We do not love if we do not live our love. Love must live to be love. Show me your love. Show me your love. Love on display. Now, flip this around. Son, I'd like you to clean your room. Okay, Dad, you know what? I really don't want to. I don't want to do that. Son, I'm your father. And I'd like you to clean your room right now. Fine. Fine. Up the stairs, door closes, stuff goes into drawers, the dirty clothes in the laundry basket. I can't believe it. I don't want to clean my room. This is crazy. I like my room the way it is. Now, has my son obeyed what I told him to do? On the one hand, yes, right? The room is clean. On the other hand, no, he has not. To live it is to love it. To love it is to live it. Legalism, performance religion would say, fine, I'll do it, because that's what you say. But I don't have to like it. I don't have to like it. The fear of the Lord says, when he says go, I delight to go. Obedience is my delight. And I might have to work at it, but I will delight because his way is always best. And he's the man in charge. He's the Lord. He is the sovereign ruler. And he loves me. When God commands you, do you delight to obey? Oh, that we would be a people who would not say to our Father, oh, we love you so much on Sunday and Monday, we would walk against all of his commands. What love is that? What display is that? Or that we would be a people who say, I don't like what you're telling me. I don't want to obey, but I will, doggone, I will do what you say just because that's what you said. You say forgive, so fine, I forgive. And you walk away. Is that obedience? No, that's not the fear of the Lord. Oh boy, the head and the heart. This is where it lives. This is Romans. This is the whole Bible. The fear of the Lord begins right here in the heart. Do you simply seek to appease God, or do you want to please God? To appease him would be, fine, you said to do this, I'll do this. I'll go over here, and I will sit as long as you tell me to sit. And I don't have to like it, but I'll do it. I'll just walk through whatever hoops you tell me to do. That's appeasing God. Love and the fear of the Lord would say, Lord, I will go. I submit my will. I want to please you. Lead me. Show me. Direct me. Convict me. Challenge me. Change me. I want to please you. Obedience comes from the heart. Oh, if this was easier for us. This is not easy. This is not easy. We live in a culture where most of religion out there focuses on what you do, not the heart. It's the display. You help the lady across the street. You say 27 Hail Marys. You roll the beads. You do stuff. And you miss the whole point. He said in the Psalms, I have no need of a bull from your stall or goats from your pens. For every animal in the forest is mine. If I were hungry, do you think I'd tell you? I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. You're wasting your time sacrificing all these bulls if your heart isn't in it. Don't pretend to obey. Give me your heart. Obedience starts here. Fear of the Lord, right here, right here. Are you a joyful servant? Are you a joyful servant? We have been given life. We have been restored to our Father. He is Lord, and we are His servants. Joyfully, joyfully. That's life. That's freedom. That will last. Loving reverence, there's the word Tom used. This captures the fear of the Lord in a grand way. It's a loving revering of God. We love Him in revering Him. If we ever get one without the other, we miss the whole point. Yeah. I love Jesus, man. He's a great guy. I love that Bible. That's great. My God, man, I'm good friends with my God. Well, do you do what Jesus said? Oh, no, I don't care about that. I just love Him. See? It's easy. We can fall into this very quickly if we're not careful. So the fruit of godly fear. Let's look through these verses. We'll move quickly through these, but number one is a life of joy. That's where we've been. Praise the Lord. Blessed, joyful, satisfied, happy is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in His commandments. If you fear the Lord, you will have a life of joy. A life of joy. Joy that transcends circumstance. The kind of joy that Paul wrote of when in chains, singing, writing, preaching, speaking. The kind of joy that suffering cannot touch. That's the kind of joy. When you greatly delight in what He has said. The fear of the Lord brings a legacy of faith. Let's look at this. Verse 2. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in His commandments. His offspring will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. There's a legacy here. I'm not talking about building presidential libraries, that kind of legacy. I'm talking about the kind of legacy your life leaves when you're 6 feet under. What will the generations that look to you now, that watch everything you do, that hang on every word, what will the effect of your life on them be? Fathers, a legacy of faith, a legacy of obedience, joyful surrender and pursuit of God. When it seems like the sky is falling, how will you respond? When you're in that marital discussion, what does it look like to fear the Lord? When you're upset and the kids are watching, what will you say? How would you respond? They are taking notes, and they will be doing what you are doing someday. What will they be doing when you're dead? For the glory of God, men, live this out. Let's live the fear of the Lord and bless the generations that will follow. They will be strong, mighty in the land, and the generation of the upright will be blessed. Number 3, a lasting contentment. Verse 3, wealth and riches are in His house, and His righteousness endures forever. Now, I believe that God can, if He so chooses, make anyone He wants rich and wealthy. He's got the freedom. He owns it all anyway. It's all His. I think the wealth and riches we're speaking of here are way bigger than dollar bills. There is a wealth you can find in the fear of the Lord that has nothing to do with your bank account. Nothing. Are you experiencing the wealth and the riches that come from the fear of the Lord in your life? Jesus hinted at this when He said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. Lay up for yourselves treasures. There's wealth. There's riches, treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, or thieves, and thieves don't break in and steal. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. The fear of the Lord starts in the heart. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. If you fear the Lord, you will treasure different things than this world treasures. The way you see money, the way you see success, the way you see retirement, changes. Changes. Not all are called to overseas missions, but some of you might be. What if the Lord lays on your heart, sell it all. Let's go. And he says, I want you over there. And you say, I don't want to go, but I will. No, may it never be. Yes, Lord, sell it all. Let's go. Lead on, King Jesus. Maybe right here he's doing that work. Maybe we will have the joy as a sending church to see that happen. Who knows? Number four, a loving character. A loving character. Look at verses 4 and 5. Light dawns in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious, merciful, and righteous. It is well with the man who deals generously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. Light dawns. I love the image. When you walk in the fear of the Lord, you bring a light into a culture of black, of darkness. When you deal graciously, kindly, in mercy, generously, when you display the righteousness of Jesus Christ in your words, in your conduct, in your love for others, when you conduct your affairs before the Lord and the eyes of the Lord that see all rightly, and with justice and integrity, light dawns where there is no light. Man, a loving character is an opportunity to display the fear of the Lord. It's the fruit of the fear of the Lord. Where you are at work, when you're in the store, when you're at the neighborhood baseball game, whatever it is light dawning when you go? The fear of the Lord brings this about. It will cause this to happen in the way you live. The fear of the Lord. A loving character. Number five, a lifelong confidence. Verses 6 to 8. The righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady. He will not be afraid until he looks in triumph on his adversaries. A firm heart. The fear of the Lord will plant you on the bedrock of the sovereign God who holds all things in all places in his hands. He is the blessed controller of all things. And when you fear him, it frees you to live with confidence. This is not, what's the word? This is not, I can't think of the word. We're not just living blindly. We're not jumping off of cliffs. We're living carefully, but with confidence. This isn't a blind confidence. This is informed. This is rooted. This is a confidence that is firm, trusting in the Lord. When you make the Lord your confidence, you are free to live. Lifelong confidence. I got to tell you, I have been blessed again and again and again by the display of this and these verses in my dad and mom's life. Growing up as a pastor's kid, I saw this on display. You do not fear bad news because his heart is firm. My father's heart was firm by God's grace, rooted in the fear of the Lord, trusting in him. His heart was steady. He will not fear. The fear of the Lord brings lifelong confidence. Lifelong confidence. Number 6, verse 9. He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever, and his horn is exalted in honor. A liberal generosity. The fear of the Lord, think of how these things play together. They come together, the character, and the rootedness, the confidence, and then all of a sudden they overflow in generosity. Why? Because God owns all things. He will provide. He will protect. I am now free to be generous at levels that I never knew. Those who don't fear the Lord cling with all their might to stuff. It's futile. You can't take it. There are no U-Hauls behind hearses. A liberal generosity is the display of a life that is rooted in the fear of the Lord that says, let me meet needs. I look for needs to meet. I want to meet needs. I want to find opportunities to bless people. And the generosity comes. He has distributed freely, given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn is exalted. The Lord honors generous people who fear the Lord. Who fear the Lord. And it's an interesting thing that we have verse 10. My preference would be that we just stop at verse 9. That would be my preference. But there's an important part of the puzzle here that verse 10 brings, and that's real world living, isn't it? It's real world. The wicked man sees it and is angry. He gnashes his teeth and melts away. The desire of the wicked will perish. The wicked man sees the man who fears the Lord and he hates it. It angers him. And, there are a few words that capture things like gnashing the teeth. You know, we did a collective gnashing of the teeth sometime last year, it seems like. But let's try it again. Just let everyone gnash your teeth, okay? Yeah. It's, I don't know. I would maybe growl or something. But the gnashing of you're so angry, you just can't get your teeth apart. You see it and you're... That's angry. That is not just indifferent or not so tolerant. That is, I don't like it and I want him gone. There is conviction that comes when you live in the fear of the Lord. The people that are in the dark, when the light erupts, they don't like that. It exposes their evil deeds. They give hearty approval to those who sin with them. The man who fears the Lord walks into the midst, opposition. The wicked man sees the fear of the Lord on display in these ways. Sees the man who fears the Lord experiencing the blessing of God. Contentment? What is that? What's contentment to the man who doesn't fear the Lord? What is joy? Everything is defined differently. And he gnashes his teeth. What is the end result? He melts away. He melts away. The desire of the wicked will perish. Will perish. No thanks, I write my own rules, says the man who does not fear the Lord. I'll do it my way. Remind me of a song. Did it my way. It's pretty American, isn't it? The self-made man. I don't need this crutch of Jesus. I don't need this crutch. I'm going to do it my way. I'll pull myself up by my own bootstraps. And then at the end of my life, I'm going to play at my funeral. I did it my way. There's no fear of the Lord there. No fear of the Lord. You play by your own rules. You die by God's rules. The fear of the Lord will lead your life before him in humility. Anger and gnashing of teeth. Many times what's popular isn't right. And most of the time, what's right isn't popular. I remember telling my sister that when she went into high school. I don't know where I heard it. I must have heard it somewhere or made it up. This came to me again and again and again when I was in school. Kids, listen to this. Listen close. What's popular many times is not right. And most of the time, what's right is not popular. It's not. Fearing the Lord will not get you necessarily the votes for homecoming queen or king. Standing out in the workplace, fearing the Lord as a boss, might not make your company Fortune 500. Fearing the Lord when the conversation goes there, ladies, and fearing the Lord leads you to a different response, that's not always popular. But it's right. And the Lord honors that. Obedience. Joyful obedience. The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes his teeth, but the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he sees that his day is coming. The Lord laughs. The wicked man sings his song, touts his own triumphs, shows his wealth in dollar bills, and the Lord laughs. Oh, wicked man, fear the Lord and find wisdom. Find riches and wealth. A fear of a godly man. Now, we've been talking a lot to the men in the church today. I want to broaden this out. All of us are called to fear the Lord. We are all called to fear Him. How we walk with Him in obedience, joyful obedience. Let's look at this list. A life of joy. A legacy of faith, a lasting contentment, a loving character, a lifelong confidence, and a liberal generosity. How we doing? How we doing? Good Shepherd Community Church, how we doing? Where is God this morning placing on your heart as an individual, a child of God? Where is He calling you to grow? Where is He convicting you? Where is He challenging you? Where is He encouraging you? In compassion. Close. Stand up. You're going to be fine. It's okay. I love you, son. I love you, daughter. Fear the Lord. Right there. On this list, where is He saying, sin no more. Obey me with your whole heart. I am Lord, King, Sovereign. That's fear the Lord. What is He saying? How is He speaking this morning? May this be a challenge to us all as we think about every aspect of our lives. Everything you do roots itself in either a fear of the Lord or a disregard for the fear of the Lord. Everything you do either obeys Him or disobeys Him. So a lot of times this stuff is really not complicated. We like to make things gray that are just black and white. It's black and white. I either obey or I disobey. I either fear Him and honor Him or I disregard Him and dishonor Him. This week, this day, this year, it's my prayer that we will continue to grow as a church in these things. This church is to be commended for the displays of these things that we see. The elders, we've seen these things. I got to tell you, I am so proud of the people in this church for the display of these things. And at the same time, I know we all are growing. We are all growing in all of these areas. Let's pray. Father, there once was a time where no one in this room feared You. We ran headlong with the sea of humanity, with all our might towards hell. And then You showed up with Your Son Jesus. And You fulfilled the promise You made way back in Ezekiel. And You put the fear of You in our hearts. You gave us new hearts through Your Son, Jesus Christ. You saved us from hell. And You set us on a path of joyful obedience. Oh, Father, convict us when we fall short of this price that has been paid for us. Encourage us to live worthy of this calling. Help us to fear you. And in doing so, find joyful obedience to all that you have said. Help us to be the son, the daughter that says when you command, yes, Lord, we will go. Yes, oh, you're right. We were wrong. We confess. We repent. We want to obey you with our whole heart. Lord, grow us in this. We need your spirit. We need your word. We pray that as a father, you would be patient with us where we are lacking. We pray that you would equip us where we fall so short. We pray that you would strengthen us, Father, as a church together to display this list of things, to be a church rooted in the fear of the Lord. When the fear of man creeps in, we think maybe we should please the people around us more than we should please you, or we worry ourselves with this or that. Keep our minds clear. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. Impress upon us in new ways today what this means, that we might be wise in your eyes, not in our own, foolishly. That we would find knowledge that would lead us in decisions and in right worship with you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.